I was initially told that the subject that I should speak about this evening is giving chizuk to people dealing with challenging issues as it relates to elderly parents. Parents who are not well physically, sometimes emotionally, and how do you deal with those issues, giving people chizuk in that area. Well, I must tell you that giving people chizuk on any subject at 20 to 10 is in itself very, very challenging. So I just imagine chizuk in this area, how difficult it's going to be. But let me just try to spend, I guess, within my budget of time as well, just a few minutes, I will try to give some measure of chizuk. Let me just tell you the following. There is a story that's told with a Ger Rebbe, the former Ger Rebbe, Zecher Tzaddik Levracha. He once said that in life, every person should select one positive mitzvah and one negative mitzvah to excel, to work with. It's very important to do that in life. So they asked him, "So Rebbe, which two mitzvahs have you chosen in your lifetime to work upon, to excel in?" So he said, "The mitzvah saseh, kibud av v'em. The mitzvah lo saseh, midvar sheker tircha. To stay away, not to lie." And so they asked him, "Rebbe, why have you selected these two mitzvahs?" And so he answered, "Because they are the most difficult mitzvahs to fulfill. In my lifetime, if I have a challenge, I don't shy away from challenges. I choose that which is the most difficult." There is also a very similar story with the Chazon Ish, Zecher Tzaddik Levracha. The Chazon Ish was known to tell his talmidim, to tell his students, before they would leave the yeshiva, at the end of a zman, go home to their parents in a zman. He would say to them, "Before you can go home, you have to study the halachos of Kippur of Ein. They're so complex, and they're so difficult, that you so easily can transgress those mitzvahs. And therefore, before you go home, you have to review Yeridah, review those halachos." He likened it to the halacha that we are presently engaged in right now. Because the halacha is that 30 days before Pesach, Shol in Vidarshin, Bilchos Achad. 30 days before the Yom Tov of Pesach, we are instructed to learn through Hilchos Pesach because they're so complex, they're so difficult. So the Gedolim, like the Chazon Ish said, 30 days before you go home, you have to learn through Hilchos Yeridaya so that you can properly fulfill the mitzvah of Kibbutz of Ein. You see clearly one thing. You see that the mitzvah of Kibbutz of Ein is viewed by the Gedolim as a very, very difficult mitzvah, a complex mitzvah, a very delicate mitzvah. And unfortunately, whatever difficulties and whatever challenges are presented to people vis-a-vis kibbutz of ein to younger parents, they are compounded when you're talking about elderly parents. It's frightening, sometimes. It's frightening. Because there are so many different issues that can come up with elderly, frail parents, and you simply are caught, and you don't know what to do. How many times can you have a widow or a widow, older person, who clearly needs some measure of help? And many times you'll have parents who say, "I don't want. I can do it on my own." And they won't take them. And you try, and you say to them, "No, let me help you. Or let's arrange for someone to help you. Don't invade my privacy. This is my home. I take care of myself." And you know that if you listen to them, you're compromising their quality of life. On the other hand, if you do not listen to them, are you violating Kibbutz of Ein? It's their wishes. And we're so tempted to simply say, I just can't listen to them. I have to do what's necessary. But you know, sometimes, if you do that, you're taking away from them that which is more essential to their well-being than that extra help. It's that independence. That's that independent sense of security. You take that away, and you are, in a sense, reinforcing the one thing that they don't want to accept. They're getting older. That's such a difficult issue to manage when dealing with Kibbutz Ava'im. And sometimes you have just the opposite. Sometimes you have a situation where you'll have parents. Well, you know what, before I tell you that, I just had a story. It's not really Kibbutz Ava'im because this woman had no children. But there's a woman who just passed away. And we, in Kew Gardens, we had women who were literally taking care of her. And this woman, if you would step into her apartment, unbelievable. Unfortunately, as Chatoya Nimaski, I only entered into her apartment after she died. I couldn't believe my eyes. It was a jungle in that apartment. It was a mess. This woman had no business living alone. And you know how many times people have tried, asked her, begged her, let's go look into a senior living pool, something. She wouldn't hear anything. She made a substantial donation before she died. A big schuss she took with her to the Ribbono Shel Olam after her death. A big schuss, substantial donation to Klal Yisrael. A woman who lived like a pauper. She had money in the bank. It's so difficult to deal sometimes with people like that. If she would have had children, if I would have been her child, I would push it. I've been taught in terms of how to deal with such a parent. And sometimes you have just the opposite. You have parents, a mother or a father, who can be extremely demanding. Very demanding of you. And no matter what you do, it's not enough. Or sometimes you have people who really need your help and don't accept it. And what happens is, you're giving help, but it sometimes can interfere. And it can interfere with other obligations that you have. You have obligations. Let's say in a family situation. You could have a situation where the parent that needs tremendous help, that needs time, what happens to your spouse? What happens to your children? It sometimes affects the house. How many times has that occurred? A conflict between caring for parents, caring for a household. So you'll say, resolve the conflict, hire help, get someone in there to help the parent. What happens when the parent says, I don't want anyone to help me. I want you. You're my child. I gave you. Only you. I had a situation right there with a young couple. It's sad. It's sad. A young couple, the woman comes and she cries because her husband is fulfilling Kibbutz Av. He's a widow and he's a very, very demanding father. And he feels obligated to go to see his father. He's dead. And his father demands of him, I mean, it's incredible. He can't do, and he has a sister, he won't accept it. He's the son, that's it. And never, the wife feels totally neglected. Children. But what's he doing? He's not doing a bad thing. He's doing a good thing. I'm sure the man is poor. He doesn't come speak to me. The wife comes to speak to me. But he doesn't. Unbelievable. Shalom Bahar's problem that had resulted because of it. Very, very difficult. The truth of the matter is, it's an important question. What happens when you have that kind of trouble? Which takes primacy? Kibbutz Ava'im or the well-being of a family? The truth of the matter is, if you look in halacha, it's halacha clear. As far as a wife is concerned, her first obligation is to the family. Before Kibbutz Hazan. That's clear in halacha. The Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch, her first obligation to her family, and then Kibbutz Hazan. That can be very challenging, especially if she has an elderly parents. Obviously, you hope you have an understanding husband who will be able to work with her. But in halacha, it's clear when you have a real conflict that takes precedence. With the husband, on the other hand, not precedence. With the husband already, he has the obligation of the mother and father. Very serious. And he has that. And that's the case I just quoted to you before. Father has the obligation, the husband. But the wife feels neglected. What happens in that situation? And you should know, this is the source of many, many problems. Many issues. I spoke to a gadol before I came to him, and he told me, you can't imagine how many family situations he's been counseling, he's been dealing with this issue of kibbutz av ve'im. It's such a delicate balance, because kibbutz av ve'im is such an important mitzvah. But on the other hand, the well-being of your family is also extremely important. How do you balance those things? What do you do? I can't give you the answer. But one thing, certainly not in 2 minutes, but one thing it's important to remember, is that all of these issues warrant a shayla. It warrants a shayla of a competent pose, not just anyone. A competent pose, or as this gadol told me, to ask a gadol b'tayla these kinds of questions, because we're talking about a very serious situation. Very, very important situation. But I guess what I want to share with you in the last 2 or 3 minutes, 4 minutes that I have, is that correct?
Just 5.
I have 5 minutes left. Okay. I have more than I thought. Okay, fine. I want to talk about chizuk. To give chizuk children in situations with elderly parents and this juggling act. And sometimes it's very hard to juggle. And sometimes when you look at a frail old parent who simply doesn't function the way he used to or the way she used to, it's painful. It's painful to have to go in and try to give that kibbutz, to try to give that service. It's very, very hard. And you walk away frustrated. You walk away in pain. And you walk away, you don't want to go back and do it. It's too hard to do. It's too hard to watch. And so, I want to talk about why it's so important and what we all have to gain from putting forth every ounce of energy that we have within ourselves to properly fulfill, never neglect for one moment, a person, an elderly parent who can be so difficult. It's so difficult. You know what's involved here? Number one, thank you so much. Number one, what's so involved is the Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara in Kiddushin says, Kabed es Avicha v'Simecha, Kabed es Hashem Ehon. And the Gemara says, from here we learn, Ish v'Akosur, Kibur Avayin v'Chved Amor. That the Rebbe Shel Olam considers kibbutz av ve'im equivalent to the mitzvah of kavod Hashem. And what does it mean that the kavod of a parent is on the same level as kavod to the Rebbe Shel Olam? I think you know what the shock is? That the Rebbe Shel Olam looks down and he sees a child under duress going out of his way to give kavod to a mother or a father. The Rebbe Shel Olam is happy. The Rebbe Shel Olam feels so much better. Someone's taking care of these people. And we're not letting these people out to pasture. We're not sending them out. Sometimes you have to. Sometimes they need that care that we can't provide. But we will do anything within our power not to do that, if we can possibly avoid it. Because the kavod of a parent Shlomo is such simcha when he sees it. I have a brother-in-law and sister-in-law. My sister-in-law's father has had multiple strokes. He has been living in a wheelchair for years. He was once a vibrant man. But I want going now 10, 15 years at least. He's been in a wheelchair. He can't talk. He sits. They have not let him out of his home. They have a person with him all the time. They go to him every day, his children. Unbelievable, the kavod. But you know what? I don't even know if he knows half the time what they're doing. I can't. But the kavod is amazing. It's incredible. It's kavod amok. You don't know what you're accomplishing. You don't know what you're doing. I can tell you, my grandmother, Olel Shem, many years ago, she was in a coma. Sometimes you have elderly people, they're lying in a hospital bed, they're in a coma, they can't talk, and you wonder, what's the point of going to visit? They don't know I'm there. What am I going to do? Am I being the kind keeper of aim in that circumstance or not? So, Rav Sternbach says 100%. 100%, you have to. And I'll tell you my Tashayim. When? My grandmother wouldn't talk. She didn't talk for days. And the children and the grandchildren, we were all there. We were trying to get her to talk. Bubby, Bubby! Not a word, nothing. Finally, I brought my little girl back. Her great-granddaughter. And we brought her in. And we told the Malki, tell Bubby you love her. 2 years old. And she says, Bubby, I love you. All of a sudden, I hear a voice. Malki, I love you too. We couldn't believe it. She hadn't spoken for days. She was still lying with her eyes closed. And she said, I heard it. I'm not telling you, Bubba Maisina. I heard it with my own ears. Bubby, I love you too. Malki, I love you too. At that moment, everybody jumped. Bubby, Bubby. She was in there. She wouldn't talk to us. You know the pshat? The pshat is, she had no koach. She had no koach. Nothing inside of her. She couldn't say anything. But you know what was inspiring to her? Her great-granddaughter. She heard her great-granddaughter tell her, Bubby, I love you. All of a sudden, there was an inspiration. There was an adrenaline. Koach! She got the words out. All she had the koach for. Do you know the kibbutz of aim that was fulfilled at that moment? Do you know that this woman, when she died shortly after that, she went, I'm convinced, do you know that she went with a certain sense of satisfaction? And not only that, she couldn't talk, but she was hearing us all the time. And when you go into the hospital room, and you sing to your mother, you sing to your father, you talk to your mother and your father, if God forbid they're in that situation, you tell them how much you love them. Do you know the kibbutz of aim that you're doing at that moment? You may think it's meaningless, you may think it's nothing, but it's unbelievably gewaltig. It's tremendous. And that's what the Mefarshim say. Kavod es avicha v'esimecha, kasher tzivcha Hashem Elokecha. What does the Torah add when it says kasher tzivcha Hashem Elokecha? What's the purpose of kasher tzivcha Hashem Elokecha? So all the Mefarshim, the Ksav Sofer, the Neshek Hoffman, Reb Chaim Falachi, they all say, the pshat is, there are times in life when you don't want to give kavod to a mother and father. You're upset. You don't think they deserve it. After what they did. Or they're too difficult. And you just can't. Or they're old. It's hard. It's one thing if you're young and it's easy and they accept, fine. But what happens when it's difficult? So the Torah says, Kasher Tziv Hashem Alakach. The Mitzv Kibarav. But you know when the real Mitzv Kibarav aim begins? It begins when it becomes so difficult to do. That's when it really happens. When it's easy, when you feel it, when they're young and it doesn't require that much of you, anyway, of course. But when it becomes really hard, Kasher Tziv Hashem Alakach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to you, and do you know what you're teaching your children? If you go out of your way the Shalkibot Avraham in an excessive fashion? Do you know the lesson that your children learn? And the Abarbanel points this out in the Pasuk when I'm ribbing about. The Abarbanel says this. It's, if you show your children what Kibbutz Avraham is, then when you get older, your children will have learned how to do the mitzvah Kibbutz Avraham. How do they know? Who's going to teach them how to do Kibbutz Avraham? You tell them how to do it. Children don't learn when you tell them. You know when children learn? Through example. When you show them how to do Kibbutz Avraham, then they'll learn how to do it. So you have a parent really, really frail and old, and they see the sacrifice, and they see the devotion and the love. When they see it, they've learned what Kibbutz Avraham is all about. And all of a sudden, you know what you've done for them? It's not that you're not just you're benefiting from that Kibbutz Avraham eventually. You've turned them into better people. You've given them a greater meaning in life, a greater sense of fulfillment in life. You don't know the gift you give the children when that happens. I believe I'm running out of my time. Can I just read to you one thing, and then I want to tell you a story, and then I'll stop. Do I have permission to do that? Fine. Okay, fine. I want to read to you from the Kayak, from the Davin and Shavuot. I never said Piyut on Yom Kippur. I never did. Until I came to the Kew Garden Synagogue. Kew Garden Synagogue, they say Piyutin. Okay, what can I do? I'm the rabbi of the shul. I have no choice. I have to go along with it. So I do. But you know what? You can learn from Piyutin. It's amazing. It's mamish a source of limud. I want you to listen to the piken, on the first day of Shavuos. There, in Shacharis, he goes through the Aseres HaDibros. And he gives up, has a short discussion on each of the Aseres HaDibros. I'm going to read to you in English what he writes about Kabbat and Sadiq of the Asana. If you have any questions about whether or not one should sacrifice, can be Mechabit, elderly parents, listen to what he writes. I'm going to read it in English. The Hebrew is too difficult. Hearken to your parents who have united in raising you. They acquired you through prayer. They led you through the circumcision covenant of the patriarchs. They nurtured you with sufficient milk of the breasts. They dressed you in fine clothing. They placed food into your mouth. They cried for you in supplication, that you be granted life by the one who dwells in heaven. They carried you on their shoulders like nurseries. They toiled for you replete with suffering. They responded to you when you called out in pain. They directed to you fear of the Almighty. They made you understand mitzvos and law. They transferred possession of assets and home to you. They supplied you with a helpmate and led you to the marriage canopy. Do their will. See not to forsake them in their old age. Serve them like a servant, his masters. That's the Bible on Shavuos. I want to tell you something. I lost my mother when she was 49 years old. She died in a car accident. Today she would have been 70 years old. I wish I had a mother, even if she would not have been so well, I wish she would have been. But I take care of her. I really do. And I know it's difficult. I wish I had to take care of her. Tell you one final story, then I'll conclude. It's a story brought down in Seder Adonis. Rabbi Yeshua ben Elev had a dream. And in this dream, the Rebbeinu Shalom came to him and said to him, Smach Delvach, you'll be happy and rejoice. Sha'ata v'nanas akata. You and Nanas the Butcher will be sharing a portion together in the world to come. He'll be your roommate in Olam Haba, Nanas the Butcher. But Yeshua ben Ellen, a great gadol, woke up from his dream. And he said, I don't understand. My whole life, I've been spending and sitting and I've been learning. And I've been teaching Talmid and Torah. And I've been Meisah Nefesh for Torah. And who's going to be my roommate in Olam Haba? Nanas the Katzav? That's what I'm zeichet to. Something's bothering me. He went to his Talmid. And he told his Talmid, I can't step into the Beis Medrash until I meet this Nanas HaKatzav, and I have to find out what he does. So they went, and they didn't even know what city he lived in. They went traveling with his Talmid, and he went one city to another. Until finally they came upon the city in which Nanas HaKatzav resided. So there, Rabbi Yeshua ben Ellen turned to the townsmen and said, tell me, where is Nanas HaKatzav? So they turned to Rabbi Yeshua ben Ellen, who was known as a great gadol, and they said, Rebbe, Nanas HaKatzav? What do you want with Nanas HaKatzav? There's a boar. What do you want from him? You don't have to spend time with him. He said, leave me alone. I want Nanas HaKatzav. Take me to Nanas HaKatzav. No, Rebbe, don't worry. We'll go get him for you. So they went to Nanas HaKatzav. The townspeople went in, and they said to him, come on, Rabbi Yeshua ben Ellen wants to meet you. He said, who? Rabbi Yeshua ben Ellen? The great gadol wants to meet me? Nanas HaKatzav? What are you? Playing games? You're making jokes? Once again, you're mocking me? You're playing games with me? You're abusing me? I'm not going to go with you, you liars, you fakers. I won't go. He didn't go. Refused to go. So the townspeople went to Yeshua ben Ellen. And they said to Rebbe, he won't come. We told you. We told you. What are you wasting your time? He's not going to come. So Yeshua ben Ellen said, I'm sorry. I'm going to him. I must see who this Nanas HaKatzav is. So Yeshua ben Ellen went. He went to Nanas. He found Nanas HaKatzav. And he comes in and he says, and he sees it. And he sees, and Nanas HaKatzav sees him. And he runs over to Yeshua ben Ellen. And he gives him tremendous credit. And says to him, Rebbe, Rebbe, what are you doing here? He couldn't believe they were telling the truth. What are you doing? So he said to him, Nanas, I just have one thing to ask you. So Nanas says to him, Rebbe, whatever you want, ask me. Tell me, Mama Secha, Mama Lachta, I want to know what you do. Aside from your butchery, what do you do? And Hannah said, Rabbi, Katzav, I'm a butcher. But I also do something else. Yeshli Ava Ein Zakin. I have a very old mother and a very old father. They can't walk. They can't stand on their feet. And every day, אני מלבישם, I clothe them, ומאכילם, I feed them, ומאכיצם, and I bathe them ביודה, with my two hands. Yeshua ben Ellen stood up. He kissed Nanas HaKatzav on his head, and he said to him, Bni, Ashrecha, how fortunate you are, the Ashrekar Alecha, Matoimu Manoim, how sweet and how pleasant. Yashri Helki, and how fortunate I am. Shezachiti Lios Kavercha Beganeden. You will be my roommate. I will be your roommate in Ganeden.